What is happening, people of the interwebs? It's Todd Frazier. We're back with another episode of Jesus and Coffee. I've got a really exciting thing happening right now. I have a guest in the studio. He's here all the way from Denver, Colorado, just for this interview. That's the only reason he came.
Correct.
My buddy Jared Haley is in the house, and we are talking about church. We've been talking about a lot of things about church since you've been here. He's a campus pastor in Denver, and there's a lot of things that we are talking about from the standpoint of what we're frustrated with the church and the things that the church is frustrated with in general. And there's some things that we talked about that got kind of sparked me to say, we need to talk about this and record it and share this with the people of the Jesus and Coffee Show. And the why don't you start off with what you told me this morning? Don't like leave the shower part out. We don't need that part of the story.
Okay. So this morning,
introduce yourself. Say hi.
Hi, my name's Jared, and you already introduced me.
Oh, that's right.
So there's not a whole lot more to say.
Do you like long walks on the beach?
Love long walks on the beach, but not in February.
But you did that already.
We did. Yeah. But our kids loved it.
Yes.
They.
You have how many kids? Tell everybody.
We have 4 kids. We have an 8-year-old, a 6-year-old, and then 4-year-old twins.
Twins. He's in the twin club, guys.
And that's a whole different podcast.
That's a whole other podcast.
How to survive twins. So when our twins were born, our oldest was 3. Mm-hmm. And so we had 4 kids under the age of 3.
Yeah.
And we survived. We're still alive.
You did. And thriving. And I will say they're thriving.
This is our first family vacation where we're not visiting
relatives.
Relatives. Yeah.
You know what? Thank you for letting us be that.
Yes. Which we've determined you are my...
We're pretty much family
you're
now.
You're my distant cousin.
That's right.
Yeah. It's just you have to go back far enough.
You have to go back far enough, but it's there.
But eventually the genealogy will give me what I need. So this morning...
This morning.
I was just thinking through, because last night you said, hey, you should do a podcast.
Yeah. And because so I think everybody should do a podcast.
Right. Right. Because that's what you love. It's the year of the...
Well, the year of the studio.
Of the studio.
But the other thing, being a pastor.
Yes.
Like, I think, so I interviewed Doug Fields yesterday at church. Mm-hmm. And if you ever want to check out Doug, he's a great guy. Marriage, he's got a heart for youth. He's written tons of books. You actually were saying you read his book in college because it was required reading.
Yes.
But one of the things that he talked about was in ministry, when he's giving a sermon or giving a talk of any sort, somebody told him early on that if you're going to all this work to create a message and you're going to share it, and then after your sermon, it's like over, you're missing out. So what he did is he would have a sermon, and then it would be a chapter in a book. So every time he created a message or a sermon, it would then become a chapter in some sort of thing that he would write. And today, for like in my communication style, I love YouTube, I love videos, I love podcasts. Mm-hmm. And I think for every pastor, if you're creating a message that is going on to like that you're sharing with a group of people, whether it's a, you know, 6,000 person worship service, or it's a 30 person or 5 person Bible study, if there is content that you've created, you need to figure out a way to put that out. And as a pastor, I feel like one of the best ways, because you're a communicator, you're a speaker, you talk. Podcast is so simple. Everybody can do it. And we're sitting in the studio right now. We're just like, hey, I'm going to turn on the microphones because you've got something to share that I think is super powerful.
So I was thinking about this idea of a podcast, and I'm thinking, when I think about what all is around us today, right, in our culture and all the opportunities that we have, what are ways that we can be innovative in the way that we distribute the gospel. Mm-hmm. So for a really, really long time, there's been a way to do church.
Yes.
Right? I think that we've talked about this before that, well, you and I have, but other people have not. So
well, they may have heard about
they
it.
They might have heard about this, that sometimes we stumble over our past successes. So, the way that Jesus saved me, the program that Jesus used to save me, that's the program that Jesus needs to use to save everybody.
Yeah.
And so we get fixed on it. And we were just talking about church camp, that a lot of us grew up going to church camp, and we love church camp because that's where we met God up on the mountaintop, right? Mm-hmm. And we had that mountaintop experience, and we were transformed. And so we think, in order for kids to know Jesus, they gotta go to kids camp.
Right.
And I just think to myself, man, God has got to be bigger than church camp.
Sure.
And that Jesus has been drawing people to himself way before church camp ever existed.
Oh, yeah.
And so...
Now, technically, though, Jesus went on the first solo church camp when he went 40 days. And actually, the Israelites did.
Yes.
Right? For 40 years, they were at church camp.
That's right. They're at 40-year church camp. So maybe that's the actual solution.
We should send people to 40-year church camp. Yes. That's what we're missing.
Yes. And then when they come back, force them to do things that they don't want to do. Because that's what happened to Moses,
That's
too.
What happened to Moses. That's right.
So, which is good.
Wow. We just... Anyways. So, yes. Innovation church camp.
Do you have a derail sound?
I have a...
Yeah, there you go.
Put us back.
There we go. Okay. Back on track. So...
Going back to why we need to innovate as the church. And I think that's an important thing because as in being in the tech space and being in the podcast video, like technology is moving fast. I love it. I enjoy it. However, it's changing every day. A lot of people, especially in the church that I talk to, they're afraid of it because it's been categorized as a negative thing. Mm-hmm. However, I feel like it's a tool that it can be used for good or bad.
Yes.
But then the question is, do we need to innovate? And I think that's the thing that you brought to the table this morning. I was like, that's an interesting thing to say that way.
Yeah. So why is giving the gospel in an innovative way necessary?
Mm-hmm.
Where we're at in Denver, there's a county called Weld County.
Okay.
And in 2010, the statistic was that 70% of the people registered as non-religious or no religious affiliation.
70%.
70%.
Wow.
So that's a large group of people out there that aren't even thinking about, man, should I go to church, right? Or does the church have anything good to offer me? They've already made the determination in their mind, it doesn't.
Yeah.
There's nothing for me there. Huh. I just need to figure this out on my own. And so how do we connect with those people? How do we let them know that not necessarily that being in our building is important, but that Jesus is important and that Jesus can actually do something good for you.
Yeah.
And that Jesus can actually give you a better life, right? Jesus said, I've come that you can have life and have it to the full.
Yeah.
And to me, I want to live that life. I want to live a life that is full of joy and that is life-giving. But for some reason, as Christians, we think, man, as soon as I love it, well, this must not be godly anymore.
Huh. Oh, because that is an interesting way to put it. Because I love it, it must not be godly. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is? Where do we go with that in our heads?
I don't know how we got there.
Yeah.
But it's this idea of as soon as it's enjoyable to me, then I must be taking something away from God. And I don't think everybody feels that way.
No, but I think that's pervasive.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Can you follow along with my train of thought?
Let's get a little bit risque and let's talk about sex.
Okay.
Right? I was just at this, Doug Fields was doing a marriage conference.
I thought you were going to say something.
You're talking.
I was just doing something and it was enjoyable.
So, but the whole concept of the conference was getting your marriage better, right? And there was an entire section on sex. Now, the thing that was a little bit uncomfortable, I was there helping, I was running a camera, as was my 12-year-old son, and he was running a camera. And the very first session that started when we were running camera Saturday morning was the session about sex and how it's good and pleasure is positive if it's used within the confines of the marriage relationship.
Right.
And I'm glancing, because our cameras are like side by side, and I'm glancing over like seeing if he's like getting weird or if he's like messing with his hat or like looking away. Or,
yeah.
And he's not. He's dialed in. He's doing his camera because he's a solid cameraman.
Right.
Like that's where he's at.
Professional.
Professional.
Mm-hmm.
But they were talking about how sex is meant for pleasure. That's why God created it. Mm-hmm. Yes, there is a function to create new human beings, but there is a pleasure function. And that is something that we, as Christians, we think about, well, sex is bad. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the thing. And the funny thing about that is when we were driving back home, I said, so Travis, how was that? Did you feel like uncomfortable? They were talking about that. He goes, you know what? No, I actually was glad to hear that information because I feel like sex is wrong, even in marriage, or where I just feel like, well, it's bad and you don't do that. And he said, I know that in my mind, I know that it's supposed to be for marriage, but I just, in my head, because I'm not supposed to think about that, talk about it, do it, then it's just bad. So I think we do that with a lot of things, sex being one of them. Mm-hmm. I also think the way we present the gospel is another. Mm-hmm. We put a style on a pedestal as opposed to the message and the essence of the content.
And I think that we have church rules that are man-made that are not God-made.
Oh, that's what happened in the, that's why Jesus came.
Right. which is that's the whole deal of the Pharisee, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Pharisees do, is they, and I honestly believe, okay, you can't paint all the Pharisees with one big paintbrush, no. Right? So you have the ones that are all about power and are power hungry,
mm-hmm.
but then you have the guys, and we were talking about this the other night, Nicodemus, yeah. right?
Yep.
So you have Nicodemus who, he genuinely wants to know. He has dedicated his life to following God and serving God, and then Jesus comes and says, you're doing it wrong.
Right.
And he goes, but this is the way I've been taught to do it, and
yeah.
I've surrendered my life to God, and trying to live that out. I need to go talk to this guy and figure out why is it wrong, and what needs to change. And so I think that's where our Western church needs to have the humility to say, okay, Jesus, where did we get this wrong? What are the rules, God? What are your rules that you've actually set in place, and what are the rules that we've actually created that are actually separating us from culture in an unhealthy way? So we went through the whole holiness movement that says we're not going to watch movies, we're not going to do, you know, we are a holy people, and so we need to be
set apart, yeah.
right? And so we're not going to participate in those things, and we've created that chasm of we are the church people and you are not, to the degree
ooh, yeah.
where if somebody comes into the church, it doesn't even matter what's going on stage or what message is being preached. They see the culture of the room, and they don't even want to sit down in the room because they're like, there's no way that I'm going to connect in this place.
And when you say connect, what do you mean by that?
Be accepted, that people are going to
fit in,
and people aren't going to want to engage with me, or I'm going to feel... People feel judged,
sure.
whether they are or not, based on the culture of the room.
And do you think that there's also a level of, I wouldn't want to engage with these people?
Absolutely.
On their side,
absolutely,
they're looking like, there's no way I'm going to enjoy talking to this person.
Right.
Now, they're judging.
Sure.
Right? They don't know that.
Right.
But we do that instinctively. Right. We gravitate towards people that look and sound like us.
Shouldn't we as followers of Jesus be the exception?
Yes, we should.
And not accept.
Absolutely.
Not expect the other person to be the exception.
Yeah.
And so that's a frustrating thing to me too, I think, is when we talk about, so you have the what and the why, right?
Yeah.
So when we're talking about the what of what we're doing at church, when we start to think about, how we expect people who are coming in to respond to what we're doing.
Believers or non-believers?
Non-believers.
Yeah.
We expect them to, we're like, oh, well, they should come in and they should know this and they should know. And I'm like, why would they?
Right.
And why wouldn't we want to surrender our own likes in order to help that person know who Jesus is?
Mm-hmm.
Like, isn't that the whole point?
Yeah.
So we're not talking about innovation at
no,
all.
No, but we're talking about why it's important.
Okay.
Like, and I think that's huge because the thing that we do all the time is this is the way it's always been done.
Right.
And why would we need to change it? Because this is how it's worked.
Right.
Like you said,
right.
for me.
Right. So here's what I wrote down this okay. morning.
All right. Let's read okay. what you wrote down.
Let's read what
instead
I wrote down.
Instead of just like right. talking about
often the emphasis gets put on the program where Jesus saved me or the program that helped me learn about Jesus and not actually the person of Jesus. And so I think that we have to realize that Jesus is going to use all kinds of different ways to draw people to himself. And I think that he has given us fun, creative brains to be innovative in being able to bring the gospel to people in new and creative ways.
Yeah. Well, I go back to all the times because you and I are both worship guys. Like you, mm-hmm. you play guitar, you sing, I play the drums and dance, I guess, if that's a thing. Mm-hmm. But there is a style that people gravitate towards. Certain people like one thing, certain people like another. However, there are people that can do all of those styles.
Mm-hmm.
So if God gave us the abilities that he's given us, which I 100% believe he has, he gave us preference mm-hmm. that is different. Mm-hmm. And therefore we have abilities to do things that some people like and some people don't. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
That's why we're created.
Right. Right. And I love the idea of thinking that what God has given me mm-hmm. is not just for this life.
Ooh, yeah.
So if he has put gifts and abilities in me, he's actually building me for the eternal kingdom. Like I'm going to have a job to do
in
the eternal kingdom. And that's what I'm trying to, that's what I think God is pruning me and creating me to do is, hey, I actually have something that's not just for now, but it's forever. And what does that look like for you to do that? And so when I think about how Jesus has brought us into a life that the things that he asks us to do should be life-giving to you.
Yes.
And if it's not life-giving, eventually you're going to burn out.
Totally.
And so what has God placed in you? I'm looking at your do things mug over there.
Yeah, man.
And as I'm looking at that and I'm thinking about doing things, the things that you love to do, it's because God placed that in you. Mm-hmm. Just like the things that I like to eat, right?
That's like, right.
I love barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
My wife, Christiana, hates barbecue sauce.
Oh.
I didn't get to choose that.
Right.
She didn't get to choose that. That's something that God created us that way to like a flavor or not like a flavor.
Yeah.
And it's not right or wrong. It's not like, yes, you have to like barbecue or else you're wrong.
And you know, my first instinct was to say, well, we should pray for Christiana because barbecue sauce is amazing.
Actually, I brought oil and later we're gonna anoint her tonight. She won't even know. And it's going to be a surprise oiling and prayer.
Right. What are you doing?
Yeah. Don't worry about it.
But okay. So I think that's an interesting thing to think about in what we're talking about, because I'm thinking it's a joke. However, that is where our brain goes. Oh, we need to pray for you because we need to fix that. Mm-hmm. However, if that's how God wired you, that mm-hmm. may not be something that needs to be fixed. Mm-hmm. That's
absolutely.
That's a great illustration.
It's your wiring, and it's what brings you joy.
Yeah.
Right. And it's not. And yet, people will say, "Oh, well, Jesus just needs to be your joy," and He does. Absolutely. Yeah. But He's the one who's fueling those things that He's placed within you that you love to do.
Right.
And so if you love it, then give it your all. And that doesn't mean it's not work, right?
Even
things that we love to do are a lot of work, but it makes the work worth it because it gives you value.
Sure.
And
He placed those desires in you.
Absolutely.
And there is nothing, like that's the thing I keep coming back to. It's the preference thing, which is something that I battle a lot because I'm at a church from a style standpoint that is progressing. Like they're changing styles. They're being mm-hmm. like, they're not super edgy, crazy, but they're not singing hymns. And you know, mm-hmm. we have like, there is just a style that generations do not gravitate towards. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the other thing we talked about was generationally.
Yes.
How do we use innovation and connect the generations?
Yes, absolutely. And I think that there's a maturity level there. We have tied maturity with Bible knowledge. Like if I know the Bible well, then I am a mature believer.
Right.
When that's not necessarily true. Mm-hmm. And so we can talk about Jesus's life, right? We don't know about a whole lot of what happened before he was 30, mm-hmm. other than he ran away from mom and dad when he was 12.
Right. David,
like every good little boy.
David was giving a sermon. I haven't listened to the whole thing yet, which I apologize, David. But he was talking about prepubescent Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus before arm hair.
That's so funny.
That's a good one. You don't think about that, but he went through all of that.
He did.
Yeah. He was fully human and fully God. Human.
Absolutely. And so, but we do know he became a rabbi.
Yeah.
Right? And so he went and he studied scripture and he became knowledgeable.
Had the knowledge.
Then his years of ministry, the bulk of what we have of who Jesus is and what he did with his life was not him going and studying and getting more knowledge.
Right.
It was him applying what he knew was true from scripture and what he knew was true from God. And, I mean, he was God, so.
Right.
But he got to that place and then he went out and he did it.
Right.
And I think that's where we stumble a lot is when we think about discipleship or when we think about spiritual growth, we always fall back to, well, we need to go read more scripture.
Knowledge.
Ooh. And we need to get more knowledge and we need to know more about this stuff. And and really growth comes from stepping out in faith and actually talking to that guy across the street because the Holy Spirit is prompting you to do so and being obedient to that. That's what I love about Jesus's rhythm is that he would go, we don't know everything that he did when he went away on the mountaintop with Jesus or with Jesus, with his father, mm-hmm. but he didn't carry a backpack of scrolls with him up the hill.
No, he didn't.
he went up there and he abided in his father.
Yeah.
And he connected and he prayed and I think prayer is a two-way street, right? We have to we say things, but we also listen. And as he would listen to his father, and then he would go down and spend some time with his boys.
Yeah.
You know,
With
his boys, you know. He hung out with his friends and he had community and he was teaching them as well in the midst of that friendship. And then he would go and do ministry because that's what his father asked him to do
because
they were one. I mean, Jesus literally said, I don't do anything on my own accord.
Yeah.
I only do what my Father tells me to do.
Right.
And that's how we should be. That's what we're, a piece that I think that we're missing is that we're not, if we say, God, I want to be innovative with the gospel. Can you, like that's not going to be a confusing question for God. God's going to be
right.
Like, I have some ideas on that, mm-hmm. you know, and I think that he could lead us in that if we were willing to step out into that space
yeah.
and say, God, what does that look like? As opposed to always going to the default of the programs that we know have worked in the past, past successes that are actually not, you know, I know that there are people that love Sunday school.
Yeah.
Right? They love Sunday school. And their answer to how do we get more people to know Jesus is to get them into Sunday school so that we can teach them all of the knowledge.
Because it's knowledge.
Because, you know, because that was so important to them
yeah.
in growing up in the church.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a great place for community. So when you talk about Jesus hanging out with his boys, that's a great place for that particular generation to really find healthy community with other people who are going through the same things and the same life transitions that they are going through.
Yeah.
But then you need to leave that group.
Right.
And you need to go invest in other people. And you need to say, God, how can you take where I'm at and actually love the next generation?
Mm.
And I think that that's a maturity step too that a lot of times people are afraid to take.
Yeah. Well, and I think we should also talk about definitions here
mm-hmm.
Because Sunday school, I'm doing air quotes. People can't see this. Yes. In Sunday school, the way that it traditionally has been, it's called Sunday school because it's on Sunday. Mm-hmm. It's about knowledge after the worship service.
Right.
However, Sunday school, I'm doing air quotes again, mm-hmm. could be renamed as life group or community group mm-hmm. or Bible study. That is not on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
It's a place where you can come together, mm-hmm. talk about the Bible, get the knowledge mm-hmm. piece,
right.
and have community.
Knowledge is important.
Right.
We
need to have a basis for what we're giving.
We need our foundation.
Yeah.
But if that's all we spend our time doing,
right.
is just trying to know the Bible, and people, you know, there are people, and I'm a feeler, not a thinker, and so that plays into it as well. Mm-hmm.
Do you think you default sometimes too much to feeling instead of thinking?
Absolutely. That's why I need the body. That's why I need other people because the thinkers keep our feet on the ground,
yeah.
and the feelers push the thinkers to go places.
Yeah.
And so really,
we need each other.
We need each other. Yeah. And if I come up with an idea that is like, not necessarily an idea, but if I'm asking us to do things that go outside of
the norm, outside of the tradition,
not necessarily even the norm, maybe the tradition. I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
No, I think what you're saying is if we do something, we try something new, we innovate.
Yes.
We change what the traditional trajectory has been.
Yes.
It feels a little bit scary.
It's scary, but then the thinker can still make sure that we're grounded in and rooted in truth.
And I think that's another thing. And I think we need to do this more regularly. And I think maybe we should just move to California. But
deal.
But
I said you have to dig a basement.
That's right. Okay, we'll figure it out. Yeah. It'll be a really small basement. We'll just cut out the pool.
Can you? Can you drain the pool? And just give
and
it
put
a roof.
Cover over it.
Yeah.
We maybe would do that.
Yeah. And some heaters for the winter.
But I think the other thing that is important and something that you and I mean, assuming that you had a similar growing up as I did, is that Sunday school as a kid was great because now I know all this stuff about the Bible, yet I don't do daily devotional Bible reading every day. Mm-hmm. I do things in and around it. But more than anything, now I'm living out mm-hmm. my faith and I'm sharing what I know with others. And however, there's a lot of things I don't know. So if I don't know, then we go back and we look.
Yeah.
And having a basis of what we're saying and why we're saying it, mm-hmm. and then the humility to say, I don't know everything.
So here's another good thing is
yes.
how can we be innovative in the way that we connect with Jesus?
Oh.
So
what do you mean by that?
I mean, typically in the church world, right? Mm-hmm. When we say, hey, you need to abide with Jesus, that means you need to go have a devotional in the morning. You know, we have kind of, you need
We have our,
you need to read mm-hmm. scripture. But again, we're all wired differently. Yeah. I like barbecue sauce. Cristiano doesn't like barbecue sauce. We're different. I actually like solitude, right? Huh. I like to go and just be still. When I was in Ireland, I would get up and I would make some tea and I would sit there and I would actually pull over another chair and just be like, okay, Jesus, come sit with me and let's just be here together.
Yeah.
No agenda, just kind of hanging out.
Right.
You know, Christiana cannot stand solitude. It drives her crazy because her thoughts start going all over and she's like, I never actually spend time with Jesus. I'm thinking about the stuff I got to do later.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard for her to, not that that's a bad practice to try, but it's not the thing that really gives her life.
Sure.
And so for her to explore, Jesus, what are ways that I can connect with you that's going to bring life to our relationship?
Mm-hmm.
And so Dave Williams was a mentor of mine for a long time and still is. He loves nature. And so he'll go out and he walks in nature and he just enjoys, God, the creation that you've done.
Yeah.
I think that's so boring. I can't. I've tried it.
Yeah, it's not your thing.
It's not my thing. But again, it's not right or wrong.
Right.
It's saying the importance is you need the knowledge piece, but then you got to do what Jesus did. You need to figure out a way.
What's your connection
that you can connect and abide in him.
Oof.
That way you can hear him speak to you so that when he says, go do this thing, you're ready to go. And that's not black and white scripture.
No, that is not black and white scripture.
The Holy Spirit speaking to us and leading us to do things is all about learning God's voice and learning, really it's that build up in your spirit that you can't control where it's like,
and you can't explain.
It's like the holy irking within you that you can't stay in your seat. It's like, I either have to do this or I know that I'm not listening to God.
Yeah.
And usually it's nothing that scripture, you know, that Paul's like, hey, by the way, when you're at Walmart later, it's really important that you pray with the person in the next aisle.
Right.
That's
not how it works.
It's not how it works. And people miss out on that.
Yeah.
That's what makes, I think, living life with Jesus entertaining and fun.
Right.
And enjoyable is the adventure that is Jesus' journey with you.
Oh, yeah. Well, I find so much more that, and I think that we need to understand this as Christians, our purpose is to live out our faith, not to understand the Bible.
Right.
Right. And I think that is so powerful. And until you've experienced, like, you can't explain it.
And that's
like
that maturity piece,
that's
right?
That's the maturity piece. I love it.
It's, do I know stuff? That's great. But what are you doing with what you know?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times, too, it's so simple. And we make it
we overthink it.
We make it so complicated.
Because in a lot of circles, we like, it can't just be that easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be difficult. We feel like, because it's such, and I'm kind of making assumptions here, but I feel like we expect that it's, because it's such a great gift, it's such an awesome thing to be able to have a Savior that is forgiving us of our sins, that did what Jesus did when he came to earth, mm-hmm. that it's got to be harder than what it seems like it is.
Yes.
There's got to be more to it.
So a really good story. I won't say his name because I didn't ask him.
Okay.
But I had a volunteer with me at my when I was the youth pastor at our Thornton campus back home. And we were having a good conversation, and it was Wednesday, and they had youth group the night before. And he was like, man, I love youth group. He's like, it's just so good. And I'm like, why?
Hmm.
Why is it good? And he said, we're sharing the gospel with kids that don't know the gospel. We're having fun together. I feel valued in that space. It's enjoyable to be there. And I'm like, that's awesome. I love it that that's happening. I said, why is that different than Sunday morning?
Mm-hmm.
Why is what happens at youth group different than Sunday morning? And he said, well, Sunday just, it just looks different. And so we start kind of diving into, the church rules of what Sunday is supposed to look like.
Right.
And we got onto the topic of the way that we dress.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
You told me this.
Yes. And so he's like, he started telling me how he dresses nicer on Sunday morning. I said, why do you dress up on Sunday morning? And he said, you know, the cliche is, well, if I met the president, I would dress nicely to see him.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, my question to him was, so you're telling me that Jesus is more present on Sunday morning than he is at youth group? And he's like, no. Like, why would you think that? And I said, well, then why don't you dress up to go to youth group? Well, because we do different activities and things like that. And I said, so you think that you're disgracing Jesus by not dressing up on Tuesday night.
Right.
And then I get into the reality is that Jesus is actually with us all the time.
Right.
So if you want to dress up for Jesus, you should probably wear a suit and tie everywhere you go. Should probably sleep and shower and pretty much do everything dressed up because you want to honor God with the way that you dress.
Right.
And he sat there for a minute and it was like this epiphany where he goes, oh yeah. That totally makes sense. I don't know why I dress up on Sunday morning.
Right.
Other than the fact that it's a church rule
that's
been handed down to me that made me feel like that's what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that it just drives me crazy because it's not rooted in any kind of scripture.
Right.
It's not rooted in any kind of how do I love my neighbor well.
Right.
It's all about holiness and being set apart and getting back into that stuff. Which
for
is,
1 hour a week.
For 1 hour a week.
Or maybe two.
And it's not actually, Jesus was very clear that it's not about our outside appearance, but
right.
it's actually about what's going on in our heart and our soul.
Yep.
And we're more concerned with what's out here than what's actually in. And I say that, and if you ask this person that dresses up that way, they're going to tell you, no, I do this for God and it's all about my heart. And it's, you know, it's like they're almost deceived by these church rules that aren't real.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We are constantly. Yeah. So the moral of the story is don't be afraid to innovate.
Don't be afraid to innovate.
And knowledge is not everything.
And knowledge does not necessarily equal maturity.
That's right. Yes. Knowledge does not equal maturity.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Dude, I appreciate you being here and coming all the way to California for this episode of Jesus and Coffee.
Absolutely.
I have a feeling we might be doing a 4-mic one tonight with the ladies.
That would be fun.
You know, that'd be fun.
That would be a lot of fun.
That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And if I can figure out how to get my system to work.
Oh, we're going to figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
Oh, we're totally going to figure it out. Yeah. All right, everybody. Jared, thanks for being here. Appreciate you.
Push the button.
You check it. Yeah. Push the bell button. There it is.
I love it. I feel like I just reached a new level of something.
Podcast
glory.
All right, guys, thanks so much for being here. Make sure you subscribe, share this with your friends, tell your mom, tell your brother, tell your aunt, tell your uncle, tell all the people, and we will see you on the next episode of Jesus and Coffee. Drink up and be blessed.